adding in the language that you all have here in number 9, that would cancel out, as my understanding, it would cancel out the currently active language in 7 and 8 from the April 20th ratified MOU.
Right, well, and that's because we have new language for 7 and 8, and we would like to see a memorandum with the language that we had proposed for 7 and 8, that it was taken out of your iteration. And we could certainly consider, talk about whether that language should go back into the most recent proposal. But we don't want to have two memorandums that are operating partially forward and then another one that's going to be take up these subjects. We want to cover all of these subjects in one new memorandum.
Well, I certainly understand that rationale. The reason that we proposed to remove that language that you all had added in the previous one was because it's potential, our position, and as faculty have reviewed it, is it's potentially contradictory with that previously new additional language about saying that faculty will report when directed to, that language potentially contradicts the language about having the right to self report and work remotely during the state of emergency. So that's the reason that we removed it. We're unable to sign that last time.
Jonathan, can you explain to me what the contradiction is?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So the way that the currently ratified language states, and the standard for reading of contract language, what arbitrators look at is the plain language meaning, right? Like what would a reasonable person understand this language to mean at its face value, right? So the language that's currently ratified says that the university has been actively permitting faculty in high-risk categories to self-identify and work remotely where possible. The university will continue this practice for a period not to exceed February of Florida's March 9th, 2020 declaration of public health emergency, unless earlier revoked or extended. Now, that March 19th, and it's the same language that's reiterated in number 8. That language about then it says at the time of the expiration of the March 9th, 2020 declaration, the university will revisit upon request. Right, that March 9th, 2020 declaration of a public health emergency is still in effect. It's been extended, which is explicitly stated as in 7 and 8 as a continuation of this right of faculty to be permitted to in high risk categories to identify and work remotely. Adding in new language, the new language that was proposed a couple of sessions ago by the university, saying the university will report to work, will report back to face-to-face classes when directed to do so, it potentially creates a conflict where that state of emergency could still be in effect, could still be extended, which is currently ratified. The faculty would have the right to self-declare as outlined in this language and work remotely. But then the university could say, well, we're requiring you to come back to face-to-face, and that could create two competing and contradictory requirements or rights on the faculty member.
All right, well, let me try to clarify our position. And maybe that will allow us to find some way to go forward, because we do not intend to create a conflict. So the way that we see it is, and I think what's going to probably occur, is in spite of the continued declaration of the emergency, and I don't know if that's going to be lifted at some point or not, I think likely because of the extended impacts of the federal legislation, which is going to continue for a long period of time. It's not, you know, this isn't all just some kind of relief or grant of money or requirements of local and state governments that is going to be over with this month. But some of the requirements stretch throughout the year and even into next year. So I think the Declaration of Emergency could last for a while. At the same time, I anticipate that the policy of the state university system, the Board of Governors, is going to be that a certain level of active in-person instruction occurs on the campuses. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to open the campuses up. We realize that, and we really can't enter into an agreement that would interfere with that directive because we're going to be bound by it. We still believe, though, and are offering through this MOU, that when that does happen, that if you are an individual who believes that you're high risk, in spite of the fact that there's an opening of the campus, you still can identify yourself as high risk. And then the language kicks in that we currently agree with. I don't think they're contrary. I think they actually flow one after another. And so if the language was always, if you declare it's high risk, then if possible, you could deliver your instruction on a virtual a platform so that you would be able to avoid face-to-face contact with the classroom. So we think that is not a conflict. We think that even if we open, actually, to tell you the truth, I think if we open and we, you know, follow the language that we have put into the MOU, the proposed MOU, about opening, the language that we also have in the MOU that allows for someone to identify as high risk and teach virtually makes more sense, and it becomes more of a vital part of the agreement, because if everybody's remote, then why do you need to identify yourself to teach remotely? But if we have a general order that says 50% will be in person, then that's when this really kicks in. So if you think that we need to do a better job of laying out that process that I just described, we'd be glad to do that. But that's how we see this working side by side. Jamie, Dan, do you have anything to add to that?
No, that's exactly what the process would be, that whatever the edict is from the Board of Governors of how we open in the fall, we need the faculty to come back to teach face-to-face, but we will have a process in place through ADA for any employee, not just faculty, to identify as high risk and ask, you know, to work remotely. So the process is already in place.
Okay, I appreciate that clarification. I think we understand the university's position, and we can caucus and talk about that and get some feedback.
Yeah, and if I could make a suggestion, Jonathan, maybe if we go to the language in 8, and refer back to, or refer to the language at 7, right? If we said something like subject to the language in paragraph 7, maybe that would clarify.
Yeah, I was thinking of something along the same lines, Mike, about, so the new language that you've added in about reporting to campus, right? In the previous iteration, we previously—
Right, talked, right.
If there was a qualifying statement in there that said, this number, that's number 9 now, like this number 9 will not contradict or restrict the the rights as outlined in 7 and 8, right? Or something along those lines. I think that could certainly be a manageable solution to clarify that. In our caucus, our team members, anything else any questions that you guys have, Chastity or Dean?
Not right now.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to walk off and then just do a separate caucus, and then we'll log back in here. It'll probably take us, I bet, 20 minutes or so.
Okay. And for the people on my team, if you could go into the caucus room, that would be great.
Okay.
See you in a while.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for taking the time. I know how busy you all, of course, are as well. Are you guys ready to continue?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So Michael, I'm going to email you a document here. Give me 1 second to pull that up. Okay, so you should have that now, Michael. I just sent it through to you.
Sorry, I'm having trouble. I don't have permission to add documents to this folder, so I might need to create a new one.
Okay. I can also attach it to the chat if you need me to do that as well. I'm going to do that additionally.
Okay, I should almost have.
I attached it to the chat, if that went through.
Okay, I just sent another link.
Okay, do you guys have that in front of you? I can, we'll talk.
I do.
Okay, so what we proposed, we accepted all of the language that you all had had proposed. So what we did is we've added back in the elements that were currently active, right? So this is the language from 7 and 8 previously. We've also added in number 9. This is the language that you all had previously proposed adding in. And then we've added in a line, section 9 of this memorandum of understanding shall not restrict the rights of faculties outlined in number 7 and 8 herein, right? So we've memorialized 7 and 8. We've added in 9. And then we've said that 9 shall not contradict 7 and 8. We also kept in the language about it supersedes and cancels all previous memoranda on the effects of COVID-19. Our rationale behind this proposal, we know for certain that the COVID-19 is unpredictable. We don't know what's going to happen with the variants. We could easily have this state of emergency lifted, by early summer. It could certainly go quickly and resolve itself, or it could vary greatly depending on these variants and these other things. So, in our conversations with faculty, what they've relayed to us is that those are really important elements that we've ratified. That's why we've retained those here. So that's what we're able to do, and we can help explain anything about our proposal if need be.
All right, does Michael or Daniel, do you have any questions of Jonathan with regard to this?
I don't.
I think I understand it, Jonathan. I certainly think it's something we would have to take back and share with the university to see if they're comfortable with this. Everybody might be. I guess one thing that I think we should all be candid about is what happens if, and I don't know what they're going to do, but what happens if the Board of Governors says something along the lines that the state universities should offer at least half of their courses as in-person or in person and hybrid, let's say, but in either instance, whether it's all in person or it's a hybrid, you have a faculty member who's come into personal contact with a student. All right, what if they say that? And I don't know if they're gonna say that, but I think we've all heard kind of scuttlebutt that they might say that or something like that. What happens if the university then assigns in-person courses to 50% up to 50% of the assignments and faculty say they don't want to do it and that it doesn't interfere with the performance of our duties. I think our team should have that conversation now so that when we bring this back, if that question is asked of us, we're going to know your position on it.
Well, I mean, we're not in a position right now to make a definitive statement on that hypothetical. I mean, what you're outlining is you know, the concern that we've outlined about that, you know, we think, and one of the things we negotiated and we talked about previously when we discussed this MOU and signed it, you know, the first time, was that we're in a real state of emergency. And this is that people's lives are at stake and in danger, which is why we, you know, as collectively agreed that while we are under a state of emergency, that this is a right that faculty would have. I don't know the answer of what would happen in that circumstance. I would say probably the information that I would want before to be able to answer that question is like how many faculty right now, you know, like what's our current proportion of in-person, you know, to online, right? How many faculty have utilized, you know, I mean, it's an important hypothetical to discuss, but it may not be a practical my favorite joke about academics is we say that works fine in practice, but how does it work in theory, right? You know, so I mean, it could be something that, you know, we don't have a number over 50% who would declare that they want to, whatever that number might be, that they would exercise the right to work remotely while we're in a state of emergency, right? We may not have that amount. So I would, before answering that question definitively, I'd wanted more context or information about where we are on those numbers right now.
Okay, and that's certainly something that we could look at, although the numbers of individuals who might declare as high risk or the number of faculty members who are not high risk, but they want to opt for a remote location, asserting that it does not interfere with the performance of their duties. I think those subpopulations are probably difficult to identify right now because we're not under a directive to deliver any particular level of in-person instruction. So the tension between a directive to provide a more robust in-person curriculum versus an agreement to allow people to opt for remote if that's what they want to do, it doesn't exist now, but it may exist. It may be a reality for the purposes of the term of this MOU. So that's something we're going to have to consider. Certainly, you know, what we put on the table for 7 regarding high risk, well, that's something I think we could commit to for sure, because we don't want anyone endangered because of the state of their health otherwise from COVID-19. 8 is a little broader. 8 says even if you're not high risk, but you prefer a remote location, then you get to do that as long as it doesn't interfere with your performance of duties. And then I guess someone will ask, I'm just projecting here, but someone is going to ask, so if the Board of Governors were to say to the University of West Florida, you have to meet a threshold of 50% of your courses in person in the fall of 2021, and someone is assigned to meet that quota, is that defining the performance of their duties? And that if they say they don't want to do that, if that taking that position interferes with the performance of their duties. So 8, I think, is going to have some, 8, as you propose, I think is going to have some questions raised about how it would work in light of all that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what we were articulated from the beginning. I mean, the university's position about the relation 7 and 8 to 9 to me sounds like it's a little bit different than what was articulated previously. My understanding was that Jamie was saying that these are not in conflict with each other, that they're complementary. But what I hear you saying, which you know, is that 8 and 9 without the existing on their own would potentially be in conflict.
Well, what I'm saying is that if you go to the February 25th, 2021 version of the MOU that we offered, there's a new 8 and an old 7, and I do not see how 7 and the new 8 are in conflict because they can coexist. But if we make the new 8 9 and we restore the old 8, I think we might have a problem.
Oh, I know. That's what we were kind of articulating from the beginning. I think we're in agreement now is you're going to create, there's a potential conflict when the MOU says both you have to return to campus and faculty have, and that's what we're articulating in the last couple of sessions, is that there's a conflict, potential conflict when faculty are told you have to return to campus, but you also have the right during the state of emergency to self-report, right? Or to work remotely, right? So that's, I think we're in agreement that that's a potential conflict. If I had a legal crystal ball, I would certainly be making more money than I am as a poet. I don't know the outcome of a situation where you have an agreed to binding MOU that's ratified by the Board of Trustees versus a directive from the Board of Governors saying you have to return to campus. And if a faculty member asks, what you're asking, Mike, is that constitute insubordination if they don't follow the Board of Governors' directive and instead, you know, are following the I don't know how that would be resolved legally or between those two positions.
Yeah, well, and we don't want to set that up as a conflict that has to be resolved, right? So we want to kind of anticipate what the potential circumstances might be and have a contract that is going to fit those circumstances. So that's why on the 25th, we were comfortable with old 7, but not comfortable with old 8, if that makes sense. Yeah. All right. Dan, Michael, do you have anything, any questions or any observations?
No, other than I think we'll probably have to bring this back. And I think we do have a meeting already scheduled, so that's helpful.
Okay.
Right, I think it's the 28th. Sound right?
Yeah, that's right, Dan. Yeah.
Well, I'm confident we can get a clarification on our position and be able to bring that back on the 28th and bring your response to what you've given us today.
So, and just you know, it's helpful when we communicate with faculty, the ways in which we can communicate as sort of succinctly and clearly as possible. What it sounds like to me that I hear you saying, and please correct me if it's wrong, is that the university would be willing to sign this MOU that we submitted if this MOU does not contain number 8, that it's exclusively number 8 that is the issue.
I anticipate that is what the position would be. But like Dan said, I think we should, it's not for me to say, right? I mean, my reading of this proposal, I think 8 is too broadly stated to coexist with 9. I don't have a problem with 7. So, but I don't know, you know, maybe somebody will read this with a different light and not have a problem with it, or somebody will have an idea of, about how maybe 8 is, as you proposed it, is softened a little bit to recognize that there may be circumstances where not all faculty will be permitted to opt for remote based on their desire to do so. So I think one thing that we, I think one thing that we don't want to get into going forward is to have a faculty member assign an in-person class and then say they want to do it remotely, kind of jeopardizing our curriculum as compliant or non-compliant with the Board of Governors, and then have a fight over whether it interferes with their performance of duties or not. Because that's going to be, that's just not a, that's not a clean question, you know?
So, Mike, I think we're scheduled until 1 o'clock today, right?
I think so, yeah.
Well, based on what you're talking here, we may have a couple other ideas, unless we may need to take, can we take a second caucus for about 5 minutes?
Oh, yeah, sure, go ahead. Take as long as you want.
Did anybody else have other questions that you wanted to ask Mike or Dan? Okay, yeah, so we're up. So we'll log back in probably 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay, thanks. Does my team want to go into caucus?
We can, sure.
Okay.
Michael, I'm sending you a second proposal here.
Okay, thanks.
It just says edits to second one. Okay, I've just sent that to you now.
Okay, I'm sharing the link to the drive again. It should, and it'll have both documents in the folder.
Okay, are you guys set?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what we're able to do. I think we can maybe get this wrapped up. I mean, we appreciate all the concerns. I think we certainly understand the kind of the positions, and it's a complicated, you know, as we talked about, it's a complicated hypothetical about, you know, what happens if the Board of Governors requirements are in conflict with the MOU that we have here. So we've tried to resolve that collaboratively. So what we've done, so we've taken out what was previously number 8. So we've removed that. So now it just goes from 7 about permitting faculty in high-risk categories to self-identify, right? That language is in there. The language that you all had previously proposed about is now restored to where it says about returning to campus as directed by the Board of Governors. And then it says section 8 of this memorandum, and it shall not restrict the rights of faculty. I'm sorry, that should say number 7, not number 8. That's a typo. We're just trying to do that quickly. So that should say, I can change that quickly, but it shouldn't restrict as in number 7. And then we have, again, the language you all proposed today, saying that this supersedes and cancels all previous memoranda of understanding. I can fix that typo real quick and send you a revised.
Yeah, if you could do that and send it to us, Jonathan, we'll take this document back and get a response to it as quickly as we possibly can. And I know this is time sensitive, so I agree. I think we're getting closer to a completed document.
The other things, and I'm just fixing the other two numbers. It should be numbers 9 and 10. Hang on one second. Okay, let me just double check. So this is called edits 3 from us. I'm about to send this to Michael. Hang on 1 second, it's coming up. Okay, Michael, I've just sent that to you.
Okay, it should be in the same link that I just sent to the folder. It should show up there now.
Okay. Yeah, and it's the one that says edits 3. So we've added back in 7, we've added back in 8, and we've included the line that says section 8 of this memorandum shall not restrict the rights of faculty is outlined in number 7 herein.
Okay, I do not have any questions about the document. Michael or Daniel, do you have anything that you want to ask?
Nope.
No.
Okay. All right, Jonathan, well, let us take this back and we'll get back to you and your team as quickly as possible.
Okay, and I would add too, you know, I don't know exactly kind of what the status of the university's legal team is right now or positions, but if the university's position is such that you believe it's okay for us to sign this document virtually before, hypothetically, if you go back and this document is available to the university, we would be happy to sign that virtually prior to our next meeting.
I think that's doable. If we get a green light on this, I think we can figure a way to get it executed sooner than later without having to wait for another meeting.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, everybody. Thanks. I appreciate the conversation. I appreciate the willingness to listen to our respective concerns, and maybe we can get this done.
Yeah, one last quick thing. When you get a chance, please check on us, update about requesting from PERC those new position codes for senior instructor, senior lecturer, those sort of things. We'd agreed to that in our last, said the university had ratified pursuing those PERC position codes.
Yeah, I have that all done. I just have to PERC, as soon as we file that, Jonathan, PERC is going to, like, the next day ask us for the position descriptions of these things. So I'm trying to get those in advance and file it with the thing so that we don't have to go through an unnecessary hoop. So that's what I'm waiting on right now.
Yeah, that sounds great. We got the frequently asked questions document all finished up and approved for phase retirement. So that's all taken care of too.
Great.
I think it's a good document. I one ancillary benefit of working through this was phase retirement is we've really tightened up and clarified that program. And I think it'll be a good program going forward, even after this MOU. So I think that's going to help a lot. Be beneficial to the university and to faculty. We're going to try our best to have a written response about furloughs, the furlough language, in our next session. So we should have a response about that. And and we have a consultation coming up. You know, that we'll talk about bylaw stuff. And faculty they're definitely interested in hearing back about the things that we proposed of structuring the unfinished promotion elements that are out there right now between, you know, those different elements to touch up on. So we'll address all that going forward.
All right, sounds good, Jonathan.
Okay, be in touch if they're willing to sign that. We'll get that taken care of if needed.
All right, everybody, thanks a lot.